Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Gratitude is not only a great virtue to have, but some also consider it to be the parent of all other virtues. With everything that life throws our way, it can be easy to lose focus on gratitude. But maintaining an attitude of gratitude is something we must do. Gratitude is taught in the Bible, and throughout the Bible, there are examples of gratitude. We'll start today's review of gratitude by considering the joy recorded for us in the book of Ezra. When the people of Israel gathered together in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles and the building of the altar, the first step in rebuilding the temple. The building of the altar was led by Joshua, and once it was completed, they offered burnt offerings and then kept the Feast of Tabernacles with the daily burnt offerings every day of the feast. After the feast concluded, they offered burnt offerings on the new moons and other holy days. It was when the second year came that they began to lay the foundation for the rebuilding of the temple, and with the solemn and yet joyful celebration, the people gave thanks to God, acknowledging God's goodness and mercy to Israel. Ezra 3, verse 1. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priests, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel, to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings morning and evening. They kept also the feasts of tabernacles, as it is written, and offered the daily burnt offerings by number, according to the custom, as the duty of every day required. And afterward offered the continual burnt offering, both of the new moons, and of all the set feasts of the Lord that were consecrated, and of every one that willingly offered a freewill offering unto the Lord. From the first day of the seventh month began they to offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, but the foundation of the temple of the Lord was not yet laid. They gave money also to the masons, and to the carpenters, and meat, and drink, and oil, unto them of Zidon, and to them of Tyre, to bring cedar trees from Lebanon to the Sea of Joppa, according to the grant that they had of Cyprus, king of Persia. Now in the second year of their coming unto the house of God at Jerusalem, in the second month began Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and the remnant of their brethren, the priests and the Levites, and all they that were come out of the captivity unto Jerusalem, and appointed the Levites from 20 years old and upward to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. Then stood Joshua with his sons and his brethren, Kadmiel and the sons of Judah, together to set forward the workmen in the house of God, the sons of Henadad, with their sons and their brethren, the Levites. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. When Daniel interpreted the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, he gave thanks to God for the divine intervention. It was during the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar that he had a series of very troubling dreams and asked his magicians, astrologers, sorcerers, and Chaldeans to interpret the dreams. Nebuchadnezzar was not going to leave any stone unturned with trying to understand the meaning behind these dreams. Because the meaning behind the dreams was so important to Nebuchadnezzar, he withheld the events of the dreams from those whom he asked to interpret. His logic was simple in his mind. If a person could tell him the events of the dreams, they would likely also be able to tell him the meaning of the dreams. When they couldn't tell him the events of the dreams, he ordered the wise men to be killed, including Daniel and his friends. Daniel 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and a sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and the astrologers, and the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever, tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, This thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts, and rewards, and great honor. Therefore show me the dream, and the interpretation thereof. They answered again and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that you would gain the time, because you see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for you have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, Lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not the flesh. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious, and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Daniel wanted to know why there was such a quick response and directly went to Nebuchadnezzar to request time to understand the dream and its interpretation. Daniel then went to connect with his friends so that as a group they could request mercy from God in understanding the dreams and its interpretations. Verse 14. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he should show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. God heard and answered their prayers and revealed the dreams and their meanings to Daniel in the night vision. Having faced a sure death, this revelation would save him and his three friends. Daniel praised God and thanked him for the information. Verse 19. Then was a secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Moving forward in time to the earthly ministry of Jesus, there once was a time when Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem and passed through a village where he came across 10 lepers. Today, leprosy can be medically treated, but back during this time, people kept their distance from lepers because close contact could lead to personal infection of the disease. In this village where Jesus came across the lepers, the 10 lepers were keeping their distance, standing afar off. When they saw him, they asked him for mercy. Jesus told them to show themselves to the priests, and as they left, they were healed of leprosy. Of the 10 lepers, only one returned to Jesus upon being healed, giving glory to God and giving thanks, and this leper was a Samaritan. Jesus rhetorically asked where the other 9 were, and then told the Samaritan to get up and go, showing that the Samaritan's faith had made him whole. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save the stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Paul showed how he gave thanks for the brethren. In writing to the Ephesians, he told them he always gave thanks for them, making mention of them in his prayers, so that God might give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that their understanding be enlightened, that they might understand the hope of God's calling and the incredible inheritance that awaits us. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us ward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Moving forward into prophecy, at the sounding of the 7th trumpet, when it is announced that the kingdoms of this world now belong to God and Jesus Christ, who will reign forever and ever, after worshiping God, the 24 elders give thanks to God for taking action, fierce action against an angry world. In this vision, John saw into heaven and was able to see the Ark of the Covenant. Revelation 11, verse 15. And the 7th angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for ever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. Lack of gratitude towards God can be a part of a larger problem that can include ignoring God, not giving glory to him, and focusing on the self. This can lead the smartest of people to become fools and give them reason to worship the creation rather than the Creator. When faced with such people, we cannot be ashamed of the gospel of Christ, as it is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. Romans 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. In the book of Psalms, gratitude is a recurring theme. We are told to come before God's presence with thanksgiving and singing. Psalm 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. God's enduring mercy is just one reason to give thanks to God. Whenever the people of God are in trouble and cry out to him, God hears them and delivers them from what troubles them. Psalm 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Each day we find ourselves alive is a day that God has given to us, and it is best for us to find a way to rejoice and be glad, and we can give thanks to God, because God is not only good, but his mercy also endures forever. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and for his mercy endureth forever. Throughout our life, we can give thanks to God, including when we come to the end of our physical life, because we know that as mortal people, we cannot be part of the kingdom of God. We must first become immortal through the gift of eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. It will be at the last trumpet that those of us who are alive will be changed to immortality, as those who have died in the faith are resurrected to immortal life. It is through Jesus Christ that we will have victory over death. Because we know this victory will be ours as long as we remain faithful and endure to the end, we can give thanks to God who gives us this victory through Jesus Christ, knowing that as long as we remain faithful to the end, what we do today in the faith is not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Paul wrote a second time to the Corinthians, telling them that thanks be given to God because of the victory he is giving us through Jesus Christ. We may be a smaller group and not be as the many who corrupt the word of God, but we do act with sincerity of faith. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. We can be thankful because God treats us fairly. If we sow a bountiful spiritual harvest, we will reap a bountiful spiritual harvest. And if we sow a meager spiritual harvest, that is what we will reap. We need to do what we do spiritually, not out of a sense of necessity, but as a cheerful giver, so that through Jesus Christ, we can do every good work, including helping those who are less fortunate than we are. Through our blessings, we should easily be grateful, and it is those blessings we have that should give us cause for thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of the service not only supplieth the wants of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The Ephesians were told to redeem the time because the days were evil. Instead of getting drunk to get their minds off the evil world in which they lived, they were told to give thanks to God for all things while being filled with the Holy Spirit, focusing on psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Philippians were told to let requests to God to be made known through prayers and requests with thanksgiving. What that means is we are to be thankful even when making the request, before we know if our prayers will be answered. We can be thankful that we have God who listens to our prayers and requests. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The Colossians were reminded that they had received Jesus Christ and needed to do what Jesus would do and what Jesus taught, doing everything with thanksgiving. Colossians 2, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. They were also reminded that as Christians, they were the elect of God, holy to God, and beloved of Him. They were also reminded of God's mercy and told they needed to have deep mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. They needed to tolerate each other and forgive each other through genuine love and to give thanks to God in everything that was to be done. Colossians 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The Colossians were told that they had to maintain their attitude of gratitude by continuing in prayer and thanksgiving, walking in wisdom, and redeeming the time. Colossians 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. The Thessalonians were told of the need to be patient with all people, never repaying evil for evil, but doing what was good. Paul added for them to continue with rejoicing, continue with prayers, and to give thanks in everything, as this is the will of God. Today, we must also give thanks to God and rejoice, and we must also be patient with all people and do what is good instead of repaying evil for evil. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. In a second letter, Paul reminded the Thessalonians that he remained thankful that they were part of his life, as it was easy for him to see their faith and love for one another was growing. This brought great comfort to Paul and gave him reason to celebrate their spiritual growth, knowing what he saw among the brethren was a small token of the righteousness of God. He also told them that their spiritual growth made it easy for him to understand that any who troubled them because of their faith would be repaid by God. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul reminded Timothy of the need for requests, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all people, including those with governmental authority, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life where we can focus on godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. We can be thankful that the promise we have been given is of eternal life and not tied to life as we know it on earth. We have a better promise than the people of Israel, a promise that transcends what is physical, that is the new heaven and a new earth. We are called not to be part of Jerusalem of today, but of the heavenly Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem spoken of in the final chapters of the Bible. While there might be many people in our life who are not of the faith, we are called to be part of a spiritual body that will be the family of God and will one day be surrounded by so many angels we won't be able to count them. We will be part of the firstborn because of God the Father and because of Jesus, who is the mediator of the new covenant, whose shed blood gives us this incredible opportunity, knowing that between now and this future time will be incredible prophetic events. For all of this, we can and should give thanks with an attitude of gratitude. Hebrews 12, verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice that they heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. We must be thankful to God throughout our life, even when life throws unexpected things our way. When we ignore gratitude, it becomes easy to ignore and forget about God. And even for those who might not be spiritually minded, when they ignore gratitude for what a person has done for them, it becomes that much easier to ignore and forget about that person. We must maintain our attitude of gratitude in good times and bad. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.